If y'all will, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 12. I'm going to begin in verse 1. John 12, verse 1. The Word of God says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing on this service tonight. Lord God, I have faith that you're here with us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll help me, that you'll use me, Lord, to speak to these people. Lord, I pray that you'll minister to them through the message that you've laid on my heart. Lord God, they're your people. You know their needs. God, I pray for those needs. Lord, please help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I titled this message, Let It All Down. And this is scripture that I've heard preached on several times, but the Lord gave me a thought that I had never had before on it. And as we look at these three verses, we're going to see three different types of people. And as we go through this, I want you to think about those three different types of people. And I want you to decide which one you are. And I want you to decide which one you should be. You know, in verse 1, I started thinking about this supper. You know, I started thinking about, my goodness, what fellowship that they must have had. You know, if one of y'all is going to come to my house to eat with me, then I get excited about it, you know. I'm going to start thinking about it. And I'll probably start thinking about the things that we may have done together. I'm going to be thinking about, memories that we've had together. Well, here the Lord Himself was coming to eat. In the other Gospels we read that it was at the house of Simon the leper, a Pharisee. But Lazarus was there, and his sister. And I started thinking about that. My goodness, what kind of fellowship they must have had. Can you imagine? I don't think we could. I don't think there's any way we could. But can you imagine Lazarus knowing that the Lord had raised him from the dead? The Lord's coming to supper. I'm going to sit down and eat with my Lord that raised me from the dead. I don't see how they could eat anything. You know, I don't believe I'd be able to. And then I begin to think, well, not physically he didn't raise me from the dead, but he did spiritually. So every single time that I know that fellowship's coming with the Lord, I should be thinking about how he raised me from death, from being dead in sins. And I should begin to rejoice in that. We all should, you know, because of what the Lord is going to have fellowship with us. I mean, my goodness. You know, I don't even see how they could think about eating. You know, I don't believe I could sit down at a table with the Lord, period, and eat with Him. Now, you know, I wasn't there as He was here in the flesh, so I can't speak fully on that. But I especially couldn't imagine sitting down with the Lord and with someone He had raised from the dead. You know, but that was the situation. That's what they were gathered for. The first person that we see that I want to look at is Martha. It says that Martha served. And we know that there are other scriptures where Martha was serving the Lord, and Mary was at His feet worshiping, and Martha took a little offense to that. You know, I began to think about Martha and how she represents service. You know, she's a great example. We should all be very ready and willing to serve the Lord. Not just in
in the normal ways that we think about, not just in spiritual ways, but we should be ready to serve Him here at the church, here at His house. We should be ready to serve Him if there's an office that needs to be filled. We should be ready to serve Him in whatever capacity may arise. But there's also a warning there. We should be very, very careful not to get so caught up in serving the Lord that we forget to have fellowship with Him and that we forget to worship Him. You know, it's real easy for someone to begin to serve the Lord. You know, it's just like Darren was speaking about Sunday, about the man that wanted to paint and weed eat and do all these things. He was very busy serving the Lord. But he was caught up in that, I believe. And he realized that that didn't satisfy his need. You know, it's great to serve the Lord. We should serve the Lord. But we have to be very careful not to get so caught up in serving the Lord that we forget to worship Him, that we forget to be still and know that He's God. As I thought about Martha, I began to look up some verses, and one that really stood out to me is one that really stood out to me was a verse about works won't get you there. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 14, it talks also about how no one else can get you there. You have to have personal fellowship and personal worship with the Lord. It don't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter who you know. It doesn't matter where you go to church. All that matters is that you know the Lord and who He is and what He can do for you. And that you know how great your need for Him is. In Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14, it says, "Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God." It doesn't matter who your preacher is. It doesn't matter who your friends are, who your deacons are. It doesn't matter any of that. All that matters is that you personally are able to come before the Lord and recognize Him for who He is. Then we see Lazarus. Lazarus, I believe, represents communion. He represents fellowship, which is great. We need to have service to the Lord. We need to have fellowship and communion with the Lord. But there's also a warning here with Lazarus, I believe, that we should see. You can get so caught up in serving Him and so caught up in fellowship with Him that you forget to worship Him, that you forget to recognize Him for exactly who He is and recognize exactly who you are. I spoke a little bit last Wednesday night about the message I had heard about the Canaanite woman and the process she had to go through when she came before the Lord and He answered her not a word. And in order to get a response or get a result from Him, she had to humble herself and had to admit that she was a dog. She had to say, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog." And that's very important that we do that, that we realize that we're nothing. We can do nothing for Him. And that brings me to the third person, and this is really where I want to anchor down. This is what I really want you all to focus on, is Mary. You know, there's so many times that we see Mary at the feet of Jesus. But this is one that really stands out to me. This one really moves me. Mary, she knew how to worship the Lord. She knew where He stood and where she stood. And you know, I've heard other preachers say it, and I believe that Mary was the only person that fully comprehended what the Lord was doing, why He was here on earth, and why He was preparing Himself to die. I think that she had a grasp on that, and that is why she came and anointed the Lord. It says, he says, you know, that she anointed him for his burial. So she knew exactly what was going on. She may not have been able to grasp the fullness of it. I don't believe any of us could. But Mary knew what was somewhat about what was taking place. Mary knew that she had to worship God in spirit. John 4:24 says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it's like I said last week, I began to think about what kind of spirit it takes to worship the Lord. What kind of spirit it is that He desires. And that was the spirit that Mary had. Psalms 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise." Mary had a broken heart. Mary was at a point where she could not hold it in. She wept. You know, Mary was very broken. Mary realized what Jesus was going to do for her, I think. I think that Mary saw the Lord. I think she felt the Lord, more importantly. I think that the Spirit was within her, felt Him. And because of that, she was broken for what was going to happen to Him. I know that she did not know. She couldn't tell the future. I know that she didn't know the extent of the beating and the mocking that would take place. But she, I believe, felt that He would be hurt. You know, as I think about being broken, I don't know about y'all, but I've been broken. I've been in a place where I knew there was nothing I could do. I knew that no matter how hard I tried or no matter how hard I worked, I couldn't do anything about it. Not only was I broken in that I could not help myself, but I realized that I needed the Lord. And I was broken in humility. I was broken because I knew that the Lord was the only one that could do anything for me. I don't know. I don't know about y'all's situations. I don't know if y'all have ever been broken in that way. But I know that you will know when you get to that point. I know that if you get to a point of brokenness, that you will realize that He is the only one that can help. You know, I said that she wept over Him. In the book of Luke, it says that she stood at His feet behind Him weeping and began to wash His feet with her tears. Now, there's crying and there's weeping. And I believe weeping is what happens when you're as broken as Mary was. When you come to a point where you are so broken you can't handle it anymore, you just fall and begin to weep. And she was weeping so hard that the tears were washing the Lord's feet. And you know, I know that ointment was very valuable and it was very significant. But I believe those tears were just as significant because they came from a broken spirit. They came from a broken and contrite heart. And those tears, as they began to wash His feet, you know, there's no way, and I don't even pretend to know what the Lord, what His thoughts would be, other than what He tells me in His Word. But I begin to think about how He must have had so much compassion over her. He knew why she was weeping. He knew exactly where her heart stood. And I believe that at that time, I believe He may have prayed for her. You know, the Lord prays for us. You know, that's one reason why it doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter what your situation is. You should have hope. If you're saved, you should have the hope that He's on your side. You should know that He prays for you. The Bible says, John 17:20. It says, neither, this is the Lord speaking, this is in a prayer that the Lord prayed. It says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You know, I mean, think about that. I mean, my sister, you know, she pointed that verse out to me a while back. And she and I began to talk on the phone and began to think about how, my goodness, the Lord prays for us. Jesus speaks to the Father, God, on our behalf. How could we ever get down? You know, if we're saved, if you know the Lord as your Savior, just the fact that He cares enough for you to pray for you should be all the hope you need. No matter what your situation is. You know, if you get to a point where you just, I can't emphasize it enough. I feel it within me to be broken. And I don't think, make y'all feel what I feel. I don't know. Maybe you understand it. I search for words. I pray for words. I have prayed about this message that I could translate to y'all the emotion of being broken, of being at that point. And I just can't find it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then I pray for you. If you've never been at a point of that brokenness, then there is a point of concern there, because if the Lord desires, which I believe He does, for you to be broken, He is very capable of breaking you. If you're not willing to humble yourself and worship Him the way that He should be worshipped, if you cannot come to terms with what kind of person you are and exactly how helpless you are, then He can show you very easily. And I know that He would carry you through that situation. He would teach you. He would grow you through it. But it would still be unbelievably hard. So, I would like for y'all to think about, not just this evening, but as you go on through the week, think about being broken. Ask yourself, have I been broken about anything? If you're saved, then you should have been broken at the point that you knew that you needed a Savior. The point that you got saved, you needed to be broken at that point. When you realized that you were a sinner, that's the first step, is to realize that you're a sinner. And if there's anyone that's lost here tonight, or anyone that may hear this in the future that is lost, you've got to get broken. You have got to be broken before you can truly have fellowship and worship, and before you can truly serve the Lord. You know, I don't believe there's anyone that needs any more help than a lost person. I know we all need help as Christians, as saved people. There's situations where we need help, but I don't believe anyone needs as much help as a lost person. Whether they realize it or not, if they're lost, they're going to hell. And they have to realize that the Lord is the only way out of that. You know, also as saved people, you know, if we are not broken as Christians, then the prayers that we pray may not go through. You know, the Bible says that if you regard iniquity in your heart, God won't hear you. If you are proud, if you're too proud to be broken, then if a situation arises, maybe it's a family member that's sick. Maybe it's a family member that's lost. As you pray, the Lord may not hear that prayer. He may turn away from it. Because you're not broken. Because you have not humbled yourself. You haven't humbled yourself like we're getting ready to see Mary. You know, as you're in that situation, being broken, whatever the circumstances may be that have brought you to that situation. Don't think for one minute that He doesn't understand. Not only does He pray for you, but over at verse 27, and this is the Lord speaking. He says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." From that verse, I believe the Lord would have us know that in your life, when you come to a point of being broken, you need to look at that time, at that point, as in looking for the reason why you're there. If you are broken, if something comes about in your life, sickness, death, whatever it is, when that comes about, instead of dwelling on how bad things are, you need to say, "Lord, what are you teaching me? What do you desire to teach me from this? Where do you desire my heart to be through this?" The last part of that verse 27, Jesus said, "But for this cause came I unto this hour." If you're broken, then it may be for a cause that you came to that hour. And you need to realize that. Because if you don't, then it'll go by you. You will continue to be broken. You will continue to hurt until you come to terms with the fact that He wants to teach you something. You know, through all of my sickness and through all of the agonizing things that took place, I can honestly say that the Lord has grown me in 2 years more than I was willing to let Him grow me in the 28 before that. I realized that there was nothing I could do. I was broken, and I knew that He wanted to teach me something. He wanted to show me something. Right here at this very altar, right here, I mean literally right here where I'm standing, on August the 15th, 2008, I was knelt right here. And I said, "God, it's in Your hands. Whatever it is that You desire to teach me, whatever it takes, I'm willing." I was broken right here. I let it all down right here. I laid everything in this altar, including my life. And I said, "Lord, if that's what it requires, it's Yours." It was His to begin with. But what I'm saying is that when you become broken, you have to be willing. Listen to me. You have to be willing to let it all down in front of the Lord. You have to be willing to lay aside any pride, any thoughts that you may be able to do something on your own. And I believe once you're broken in that way, and once you let it all down before the Lord, then He'll begin to work on you. All I can say is hold on. Hold on, because He will work on you, and He will grow you if you're willing in ways that you can't imagine. You know, He had dealt with me for a couple years before that point of brokenness about surrendering to preach. And I will be totally honest with you, I had myself convinced that that was a thought I came up with on my own. My family members that are here can tell you that I'm not the kind of person that would ever be willing to stand in front of people and try to speak to them. I was always a loner. So how I thought that I came up with the idea to preach, I don't know. I should have known right off that you know, that wasn't coming from me. But what I'm saying is that He'll grow you in ways that you can't imagine. Now, I'm not saying He'll call you to preach. I don't know what the Lord's got in store for each of you. But I know that had I not been broken and had I not turned it over to Him, I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't have the privilege to walk behind a pulpit and share His Word with anyone. Not in the capacity that I have now. And He made it very clear to me after all of that, and I came back home and was sitting right back there on the back row. And he told me very plainly. Now, I won't get into the theology and everything with you about the Lord speaking to you. All I know is that I was there, and he was there, and I believe he spoke directly to me. Now, you could argue with me all you want, but I felt it. I heard it. It was not an audible voice that anyone else would hear, but I heard it within my soul. He spoke to me, and he said, if you don't do it now, I won't call you again. And that was when I got here as quick as I could, because it scared me to death. And I tell you that in order to let you know that if you are broken, and if you're not willing, that may be the last chance you have to serve God in the capacity that He wants. Just because you say no doesn't mean He won't get somebody else to do it. He may desire you to do it. He desires to bless each of us in different ways. And if you forfeit those blessings, He may move them on to somebody else. Now, I'm not saying be greedy, but I desire to be blessed by the Lord. And I'm willing to do what it takes to serve Him in the way that He wants me to. It's a privilege. You see, too many people look at serving the Lord as a burden. It's not a burden at all. It's a privilege. Every single opportunity that we get to speak to someone, to witness to someone, every single chance that we get to just say, you know, I praise the Lord for what He's done. That is a privilege that He bestowed on us. You know, there are angels in heaven that cannot comprehend. They look at us in amazement because we have something that they don't have. We have a Redeemer that died for us, that shed His blood for us, sinners, unworthy, unclean sinners. And He was willing to give His life and suffer the torment that He suffered for us. So if anybody looks at serving the Lord as a burden, you're mistaken. It's a privilege and an honor that He's given to us. Just a little opportunity to tell somebody about Him and what He can do for them. We should take every one of those opportunities. Like I said, Mary, she was broken. She was weeping at the feet of Jesus. You know, that's what we should do. If we have a problem, if we have something in our life that troubles us, it's not a secret to Him. What He desires is for you to wash His feet with those tears. He desires for you to bow before Him and weep. That's what He desires. For you to come to that point where you're... When you do that, then He'll begin to help you. You know, Mary, like I said, she humbled herself. She was broken. And as I begin to think about how she wiped His feet with her hair. You know, 1 Corinthians 11:15 says, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. During those times, and even today, I think, in that region of the world, a woman is not to be seen with her hair down, not to be seen exposed because of that. Mary humbled herself. Mary didn't care what anybody was going to say. Mary didn't care what anybody thought. Mary was broken. She knew that this was the Lord. She knew that she needed Him, and she desired to please Him. So she let her hair down. You know, are you with me? She couldn't have wiped His feet with her hair up on her head, with her hair tucked underneath the thing that they wear. I don't even know what they call it. But she could not have wiped His feet. She had to let her hair down and wipe His feet with her hair. So she was willing to expose herself. She was willing to say, Lord, You know me. You know who I am. You know my heart. There is nothing I can hide from You, Lord. She let it all down to Him. That's exactly what we should do. Just like I was talking about being broken. We should be willing to take our problem and go before the Lord, weeping, broken, and let it all down before Him. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. You know, you don't worry about other people. When you've got a problem, when something's bothering you, when you truly get broken, you shouldn't care about other people. You shouldn't worry about offending them. Just like we said earlier, it's all right if they get offended. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they can leave and take the bad spirit with them. You let Jesus... Now, I didn't intend on going here. This Awana class has heard me say it before. I get a little bit fired up whenever I start thinking about how the Lord can deal with people. You know, too many people go around through life saying that the Lord was easygoing and very gentle, which He was. He was a very gentle person. But when it came to sin, and still today, when it comes to sin, He can handle that problem. I promise you. If you have a problem and you desire to come before the Lord, then you do it and don't worry about anybody else. You know, it's just like I told that class. When He drove those people out of the temple, it says that court was so full of them that people couldn't get into worship. Now that tells me there was... Now we could look up the dimensions and do some figures and possibly come up with an estimate as to how many people were in there. But there was a lot of people, okay? It's safe to say there was a lot of people. And He was very troubled and bothered, angry about what they were doing. He had 12 very able-bodied men, willing men. We know Peter. We could look up Peter and see how willing he was to draw his sword and fight with the Lord. When He went to drive those people out of the temple, did He go to those 12 men and say, "Hey guys, come on, you know, let's go take care of this"? No, He didn't. He went Himself and drove those people out. Now that, to me, is not the type of person that can't handle a problem. That's not the kind of God that can't handle a problem. You see what I'm saying? If you have a problem, if you desire the Lord, if you desire to worship Him, then humble yourself and come before Him and forget about everybody else. Just forget about them. Just say, "Lord, if anybody's bothered, please take care of them." And He will. I promise you, He will. You know, in the last part of that verse 3 there, it says, "And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." You know, whenever we come before the Lord and we worship Him, we have fellowship with Him. When we bring our problems before the Lord and we let it all down before Him, then what we produce is a sweet smell that should fill this house. You see, the Lord desires you to be at that point where you say, "I need You and only You, Lord." And then when you get to that point and you begin to weep and wash His feet with your tears, then there's a, you know, figuratively, there's an aroma that begins to rise to the Lord. He smells that, figuratively speaking. He knows. He feels that. You see what I'm saying? When you are at that point and you call on Him, whether it's because you're lost and you're calling on Him to be saved, or whether you're already saved and you have a problem and you're calling on Him, it pleases Him. It pleases Him for you to come to Him. You know, just like any other father, I'm a father. And you know, if my children have a problem, even though they're young, if they have a problem, then I want them to come and ask me for help. You know, I want them to come and say, "Daddy, can you help me with this?" Because it gives me such a great joy that they knew they could come to me for help. And it gives me such a great joy to help them. It's the same way. You know, there's so many things in this world, that in our natural world, that God created in order to give us a little insight into Him. And I believe that's one of them. A father desires their children to want them, to want his help. So you forget about everybody else. You lay your problems down before the Lord. Humble yourself. And it'll please Him. If you're saved, you should desire nothing more than to please the Lord. I feel like we need to have a time of invitation. If somebody would, please come and play. And I want y'all to think about pleasing the Lord. I know everyone has burdens, big or small. I want you to think about laying it down before the Lord. I want you to think about where you're at and where you need to be. Because where you need to be is broken. And I'm not talking about just once. I'm talking about daily, hourly, we should be broken. We should always remember exactly where we stand. And if we remember where we stand, then we'll be broken. If we truly lay everything aside and we realize who we are, then we'll be broken. And all you got to do is lay it before the Lord. If you'll just let it down before the Lord, it'll please Him. And He will desire to help you. He does desire, and He will help you. Thank You so much, Lord. I thank You so much for being a Father that desires His children. Lord, I thank You for being there to help us. Lord God, I thank You for teaching us, Lord. I thank You for growing us. Lord, I thank You for being long-suffering with us. Oh, Lord, how much I thank You for Your patience. Lord, how many times You could have turned away from me, that You could have cast me away, God, and You didn't. Oh, Lord, I thank You for that. Oh, Lord, I pray that You'll help me to always remember where I stand. Lord, that I wouldn't forget how much I need You and how I can do nothing without You, God. Lord, I just want to say I love You. I love You so much. I'm not ashamed to say that I need You, Lord. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Lord, I need You. Lord, I thank You for the security of knowing that in the future when things arise, as I'm broken, Lord, as I have problems, that I can come back to You. Lord, that You'll help me then. Lord, I thank You so much for saving me. Lord, I just praise Your holy name for what You've done for me. That You shed Your blood to wash away my sins. Lord, I thank You so much that You loved me first and then washed me. Lord, You loved me when I was dirty. And Lord, when I dirty myself again, You still love me. Thank You, God, so much. Thank You, Lord. I just praise You and worship You. In Christ's holy name, amen.